Blood and Barrels discuss cases that contain graphic content.
And Mike has a potty mouth.
So does Amy.
Nah.
Listener discretion is advised. What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Blood and Barrels. I'm Mike.
I'm Amy. My mic seems really high, but that's okay.
Are you having mic issues? Do I need to adjust for you?
You
need to adjust?
Yes, you, Mike, need to adjust.
You're very short.
Just kidding. Okay. Let's go. I'm ready. Okay.
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Welcome, everybody.
What it do? Oh my goodness. Okay. So actually, normally we wait a minute, but we're going to be trying beers from Crane Brewing Company today. And I was laughing because she was looking up the first beer we were going to try before we started. And she goes, "No, not Young Gravy." It's like, it's gravy, baby.
Yeah. I accidentally typed a Y instead of a U when I was trying to pull up Untappd. And then it put the U, and automatically on my phone it said Young Gravy.
So was it your fault? Like, you typed it wrong, or was it trying to autocorrect some stuff?
I didn't realize I had typed a Y. I thought I had deleted everything. Trying to just type a U to find the app, but I had not deleted everything that was already there. So it was when I saw YU, it automatically, like, you know how Google, you start typing, it'll fill in. It was like, "Oh, are you looking for Young Gravy?"
Yeah.
On my phone.
You're like, "Nah, I'm not looking for Young Gravy."
Yeah, I should not have Young Gravy on my phone.
I mean, the kids really like Young Gravy.
Well, so do you.
I do like Young Gravy. I hate to admit that, but yeah, he's got a few songs I like, so.
So yeah, that's the brewery we're going to.
Yeah, exactly. And as much as I hate to do it, I have to apologize yet again. I'm still getting over bronchitis. It's taking for freaking ever. So, hopefully we'll have more episodes for you if I don't die sometime between now and whenever I die. So, yeah, that made no sense.
I love you so much.
I've been way worse lately about just saying, like, random stupid shit. And then on top of that, like, I'll start to make this, like, really insightful statement, but it just comes out so wrong and so bad that I sound like a fucking idiot. It's been, like, a thing lately. I don't know if it's, like, the head cloud of being sick or what it is, but I feel like I sound like an idiot. Y'all are welcome to let me know. info@bloodandbarrels.com. Yes, Mike, you sound like a freaking idiot. So.
All right, so Crane Brewing is in Raytown, Missouri.
So that's where we're going this week, Raytown.
Yeah. We're going back to Missouri. We've only been one other time, and we were in Springfield.
Checking the map over here. All good.
Thanks one to time. Justin, we went to Missouri.
Oh, yeah, Justin. What up, Justin?
We did.
One of our Patreon members. We love our Patreon members. We know them by name.
We do. So this time we're going back to Missouri, and we're going to Raytown. Just about 20 minutes away from Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay. I know Kansas. I'd never heard of Raytown. So. Yeah.
So it's kind of like a suburb of Kansas City.
Okay. I'm down with the suburbs. We live in the suburbs.
Yes, we do. So are you ready? Do you want to try the beer? Like,
well, generally we try the beer before the case. So I say we just crack it open.
This whole thing off a little longer.
I'm here to mess everybody's day up. You're welcome. Yeah. My head's been just real cloudy lately, so, God, we'll get back there. Anyway, by the way, the laundry's done. Just heard the little song downstairs. This episode's going to be all over the place. Hey, sorry, you guys.
Hey, Matt, your laundry's done, by the way.
Matt, go get your laundry. He's like, "Man, I folded that up yesterday." Actually, no, we're going to make him edit this one today, aren't we? Yeah. Okay. All right. So today, I'll shut up. And we're going to try this Farmhouse IPA. Like I said, this is Crane Brewing Company. And this is a dry hopped farmhouse ale, which I love farmhouse style. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm thinking, too, you're not a huge, huge IPA fan. You've gotten a lot better, but I think this might be one you like. I haven't tried it yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, well, we'll check it out. It says on Untappd that it's a dry-hopped farmhouse with Mosaic, Amarillo, Simcoe, and Citra hops.
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right, crack it open.
All right, here we go. Oh, what was the ABV on it, did we say?
We did not say. It's 6%.
6%. All right, mm-hmm. And now I know where it is on the can. We obviously prepare ahead of time for these episodes. You can tell, right? We definitely prepare. It's like Amy does the research and then like a month later we record. All right, here we go.
Hey, no spillage.
Oh, I know. The last episode I got it everywhere. It was not my fault. That can was very carbonated.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I like the hop combination in it. It gives it kind of a unique flavor.
Well, I think it,
but it's not overly hoppy.
I was
it's
about
really
to say,
good.
I think it might. I don't know if I've ever had Amarillo hops, but
I don't know that I have either. I've probably had them in something and not known, but
I'm just gonna say because it's named after a place in Texas, it mellows the hoppiness out.
There you go. Even though it is a hop.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It must be a more mellow hop.
No, I think it has to do with the farmhouse style. Every farmhouse ale I've ever had has been awesome. I love them. And I think that when you kind of have that combination of the farmhouse style with the IPA, I think it kind of probably mellows it out.
I like my reason better.
Okay, well, we'll just go with the fact that it has Amarillo makes it less. Yeah, we'll go with that.
Amarillo by morning.
Amarillo by morning. Hops. Amy has officially renamed the hop. It is now the Amarillo by morning hop. You're welcome.
All right.
But unfortunately, now Crane Brewing has to update their can.
True. Yes. Sorry, Crane Brewing. We're going to check in now. What you going to give it?
I would 5. I really, really, really like this one. That's a 5-star to me.
I'm giving it a 5. No badges.
No badges for you.
No badges for me.
Well, I'm going to get another sip of this, and then we're going to get going. And you said we're in Raytown, Missouri?
Correct.
Oh, I remembered something. Thank God. Telling you, the head clouds, it's getting me.
All right. So you ready?
I am ready, but before we jump into this, I did want to ask if you do like the show and you do listen with any, you know, kind of consistency, we would love it if you would go out and rate and review the show, either on Apple Podcast or Spotify has,
Audible has it. If you do it on Apple, please do a review as well.
Yeah, we love the feedback, but yeah, it helps us out and it's, you know. Something that would be easy and we would really appreciate it.
It'd take 2 seconds. And share us with a friend.
Oh, yeah. Share us with a friend.
And actually, before we get started, we said in our last recording we were going to give an update and we forgot to.
Oh, yeah. We have an update.
So
we talk about this all the time. Like, if you have information about a case that we've covered, let us know. You can hit us up at info@bloodandbarrels.com or you can reach out to us through social. But we will definitely provide an update. So we have one.
Yeah, so this one is from the Connie De Palma case, which was episode 61. And the person who sent this to me has asked to keep their name out, but wanted to give some information because they knew the kids involved
in
the murders. So do you remember the Connie De Palma case?
Vaguely.
Okay, so
it's been a minute.
It's the one where her son and his friend murdered her for her car.
Oh, yeah. That shit pissed me off. I remember that now. I remember because the whole time I was like, well, why didn't they just take the car and leave? Like, right. Why did they have to kill her? So, yeah.
So this person who reached out said that he grew up with, or she, I don't know. They're anonymous. But they grew up with both Anthony and Mark, two boys. According to this person, Tony was pretty decent. That was Connie's son. He was a decent kid. He just got in with a bad crowd of friends. This person's family would often give Tony rides home in bad weather because his mom wouldn't give him a ride. Apparently, Connie, if it was pouring rain or snowing, he'd be forced to walk home in that weather.
I mean, to me, that's not a huge big deal because I had to do that, but it was mostly because my parents worked and they weren't there to give me a ride.
And I, the way that this is written, I feel like he or she probably knows more and just not.
Sure, yeah.
Because they did say that, yes, Connie did have it tough being a single mom, but she wasn't really a real prize either. Not that it makes it okay they killed her.
Definitely
But apparently she wasn't as sympathetic of a person as we took when we researched the case.
Okay.
This person goes on to say that Mark was a lunatic. And his parents were evil. He'd come home late for curfew, and his parents would make him sleep on the porch any time of the year. They apparently were very religious and were the type of people that would just pray for him to be healed rather than...
Okay. So if I'm remembering the case correctly, didn't the son initiate everything?
Yes.
So the Mark, so the what we're saying here, or at least what this person is saying, is that the good kid is the one that initiated everything, and the one that didn't was the lunatic?
Correct.
Okay.
He's saying, or she's saying, that in their opinion, Mark would have done this stuff without Tony being involved.
Interesting, because that's not really how...
Well, and that's not what Tony said. Tony's the one that said he didn't think Mark would have...
The lunatic one,
yeah.
According to this. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, and I don't know how old this person was when he knew them. It sounds like high school. And they said these are just his opinions or her opinions.
Right.
What they knew. But he did, or she did, go on to say that Tony has been released from prison.
And we confirmed that, correct?
We confirmed that, and is living in Michigan. Mark is still in the process of being resentenced, but this person believes that his mental issues will keep him from being released from prison.
Okay.
And then we do have the Michigan Department of, I'm assuming, Justice. I don't know.
What corrections?
Maybe? Yeah, there you go. status where... Mark was paroled in 2020, and his supervision discharge date was just last month.
Okay.
So he doesn't have to be on supervised parole anymore.
Oh, okay.
And he does have a Facebook page.
Which he's active on.
Which he's active on. He, like we said in the episode, he went to Bridgman High School. He now lives in Pawpaw, Michigan.
And there you go.
So, again, this person... just wanted to share their opinions, and we always like to give it out there. And if you don't want your name in it, just let us know, and we'll call you a he or she or they, because we don't know. But we forgot to give that update last episode, so.
Yep, perfect. Well, very good. So are we ready to jump into this case now?
I think so.
All right, so what are we covering today?
Today we are covering the murder of Ann Harrison. Anne was born on February 22nd, 1974 in Kansas City, Missouri. Like I said earlier, Raytown is only about 20 minutes from Kansas City.
Yeah.
Anne was known to be a real animal lover, like to the point that if there was a thunderstorm that would bring earthworms out, you know how
Oh, yeah.
If they got on the driveway, she would pick them up off the driveway and put them back in the grass so they wouldn't get run over by the cars on the driveway.
Oh, okay, I dig it. I'm pro earthworm.
I mean, earthworms are pretty cool.
I agree. They're good for your soil, too.
They are. That's true.
Put them in your garden.
Yeah. In 1989, when Anne was ultimately abducted and then later found to be murdered, she was 15. She was attending Raytown South High School, which is still there. I looked. Their mascot is the Cardinal, which isn't that shocking from Missouri, St. Louis Cardinals.
And at 15, she'd be, what, like a sophomore?
She was a freshman.
Freshman, okay.
She was a freshman honor student who was also on the school's volleyball team and in the band.
Okay. So she's involved. She's active.
She very much so. Because not only was she involved in school sports, but she also played for the Raytown basketball and softball teams, which to me seemed kind of like a PSA, like the Plano Sports Authority.
Yeah.
So it wasn't through the school, from what I gathered. So she did volleyball.
It's the local youth sports associations. Yeah.
And so she did school volleyball. She did band and basketball and softball. So she was obviously really involved and pretty athletic.
Yeah. It's always impressive to me whenever you can be that involved and keep your grades up and be an honor student.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's you see that kids, I think personally, from what I've seen, kids that do remain very involved tend to do very well. Mm-hmm. So
I agree. Her good friend, Anne's good friend, Carrie, said that she was one of those people that was liked by everyone.
Yeah. Well, and I imagine she knew a ton of people because she was involved in so many different things. So
yeah, exactly.
She probably had a lot of, you know, friends and things like that.
At the time of Anne's abduction, she did have two younger sisters who were 9 and 4. And this is sad, but I also think kind of cute. The 4-year-old, when they discovered that Anne wasn't coming back, the 4-year-old told her parents that Anne was in a spaceship with E.T. and God.
It's cute.
And it's sad, but it's cute.
Yeah.
Like I feel like at 4, she was trying to like make her parents feel better. And this happened in 1989. So E.T.
It's literally a 4-year-old's version of saying they're in a better place.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like trying to comfort her parents. So yeah, I think it's super sweet, even though the circumstances are obviously very sad. Yeah.
Well, and E.T. was huge. It was 1989. So it totally makes sense that
I hated E.T.
Oh, I did too. It was not.
Never a fan.
Me neither. But I get why the little girl said it. So on the morning of March 29th, 1989, Anne was waiting at the bus stop for the bus to arrive. And where she lived, they actually came to your house and picked you up. So, like, when I rode the bus, I had to walk down the street to the bus stop. But this route would actually come by your house and pick you up from your house.
Yeah, I didn't ride the bus a lot as a kid, but usually there was like a specific corner that all the kids congregated on and they'd pick you up there.
But like I always think of like even further back than the 80s, the bus driver would go to each house, and it sounds like in Raytown, even in 1989, they were still kind of doing that. But before the bus would arrive, Anne was approached by two men in a stolen 1984 Monte Carlo. The two men were Michael Taylor and Roderick Nunley. One of them got out of the car to ask Anne for directions, and there was some back and forth on who it was, but I believe it was Roderick that got out of the car.
Okay.
And when he did, he walked up to her like he was going to ask her for directions, but then grabbed her and tried to pull her in to the vehicle with them. Now, I already said she was athletic, and she was 5'5", so she fought back.
Good for her. I'm glad she fought back.
She did fight back, but eventually they overcame her. The scary thing about this whole thing is she was only 20 yards from her front door.
Well, yeah, if she's in her driveway, mm-hmm. I mean, that's fucking scary shit.
Yeah, yeah. So the night before, Michael, who was 23 at the time, and Nunley, I couldn't figure out exactly how old he was. I think he was a little bit older, though. We're out partying, and some reports say they were just like out joyriding and smoking weed, but most reports say they had been like on a 3-day cocaine binger.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Bender. So they were pretty fucked up.
This is why we don't do cocaine, people.
And they had been up all night partying, and they saw Anne, and their initial plan was just to steal her purse. They were just going to
pull her. I do not believe that. I'm sorry.
They both say that. Their stories differ, but they both say that.
I believe that's what they say. I don't believe it, but continue.
So, at some point, the night before, a Lee's Summit police officer actually noticed the Monte Carlo that they were in because it had a broken taillight. And he did attempt to pull them over, but they sped off. So this is what's crazy. They could have been stopped, but the Lee's Summit police department had a policy that you couldn't chase a suspect for such a minor infraction.
Oh.
So when they sped off, he had to follow policy. And
I mean, God, I hate that because it's, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't make sense to get into a car chase
over a taillight.
Right, which could cause a dangerous situation for other people on the road. So I actually get the policy.
Oh, I do too, 100%.
But God, I mean, if a suspect speeds off over something, there's usually a reason. Yeah. So, wow, yeah, that's kind of fucked up.
Yeah. So, like I said, the man grabbed Anne.
Oh, actually, I'm going to interrupt you right here. Because, you know, when I think of a Monte Carlo, I think of like some old, shitty, crappy boat car. I don't know why, I just do. But I want to say during this time, they had like some, they were like really, really fast, kind of like, they weren't muscle cars, but like the Monte Carlos at that time, I'm pretty sure were fast.
There's a Monte Carlo SS.
Which would explain why they stole it. I mean, they were kind of...
They're pretty hideous.
Well, I mean, during that time, a lot of cars were hideous. Let's be honest. The 1968 to 1970 was like the best time for cars as far as like, you know, your muscle cars. Yeah. But during this time, I'm pretty sure, I could be totally wrong, and if I am, you feel free to mercilessly give me shit. But I'm pretty sure these things were fast. I've heard of several people talk about them.
So a Monte Carlo SS had 180 horsepower in 1984.
That does not seem like a lot to me. Okay, so maybe I'm full of shit.
Well, let's do this. 1984.
I'm just wondering why would they steal a Monte Carlo? Unless they just stole the first car they could get to.
A 1984 base Firebird, so not the Trans Am, had 125 horsepower.
So this had more than a horsepower. Base. Okay. Yeah. So they were more, to me, that still doesn't seem like a lot.
No.
Just because I know what, you know, your Mustang does.
And well, and in 84, a Trans Am didn't really have much more horsepower.
Was it 125?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, the other one had 180 something, right? The Monte Carlo.
Yeah. So,
For the 80s, it was fast. Okay. So I wasn't totally full of shit. Yeah. So sorry. I had to jump in and act like I knew what I was talking about.
Well, you did.
It was important, you know?
You did. But
I just know I've talked to other people and they were like, you know, it was funny. Because, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, Monte Carlo used to be a decent car. I don't think of them as that, but.
Well, it's like the Impala, too.
No. Oh, yeah, I hate the new Impalas. Yeah, they're like ugly as hell.
Cars and stuff.
Yeah, they're ugly.
Yeah. So anyway, we're not a classic car podcast. So
True. We're
going to jump back to Anne.
As we should.
So like I mentioned earlier, the men grabbed Anne, shoved her into the Monte Carlo, and then sped away. Another student waiting for the bus at her house saw the car speed away, but didn't really, you know, think anything of it. But when the bus driver showed up to Anne's house to pick her up, the bus driver didn't see Anne anywhere, but did see her books, purse, and flute were all stacked up nice and neatly next to the mailbox like they were every morning.
Which obviously means she was at least intending on going to school, right?
Right, yeah. Right. And at first the bus driver wasn't worried because Anne apparently always stacked her stuff in the same way, so she thought maybe Anne had just run back into the house to get something.
Yeah.
So she waited and she continued to honk for Anne. But Anne's mother, Janelle, came outside and realized that Anne wasn't there and told the bus driver to move on.
Oh, her mom was in the house?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
All right.
So she thought the same thing. She thought maybe Anne was running late. So she was like, you go ahead and get the other students. I'll get Anne and I'll just drive her up there today. So she went into the house and couldn't find Anne anywhere. So she went out into their backyard thinking that maybe Anne was playing with their dog. She wasn't out there. So she went to a neighbor's house just to see if maybe Anne had walked over there. She wasn't there. So she called her husband, and then she called the police.
Good. Yeah. It's good she called right away, and that way they can start investigating, and because, you know.
Well, and she checked the places she thought Anne might
As you
be.
Should. Yeah, as you should. Yeah.
And the only person she called first was her husband, which I totally get. When police arrived at Anne's house, there were two officers that came. The first one was a male, and the second one was a female. The male automatically assumed that Anne had run away. But the female officer quickly disagreed and said that if a girl was going to run away, she would have taken her purse with her.
Correct.
It wouldn't be sitting there with her books. Anne's parents also agreed that she wouldn't run away. Not only was spring break going to start the very next day, but Anne's boyfriend was actually in the hospital fighting cancer, and she was spending as much time with him as she could and was planning on going to the hospital to visit him the night she disappeared. She didn't have any reason to run away.
No reason to leave. She's got plans of things that she needs to do. Like, yeah, right. Doesn't make sense.
So that was very quickly.
Well, good for the female officer. Yeah. I hate that it was such a persistent thing for so long that it was just assumed that kids just were running off. I mean, and I'm not saying that doesn't happen.
Right.
But like, that doesn't mean you shouldn't look for them.
Right. Well, but you see it so many times, like with the Texas killing
fields. That was the first one that came to my mind. Yes, I was like, ugh, it
kills me. Because they do. They assume that in the late 70s, early 80s, even late 80s, obviously, that the kid just ran away, especially if they're in their high school years.
Right. And again, it happens. And I'm sure that the assumption stems from the fact that it was probably a pretty frequent occurrence, but you still have to... Mm-hmm. I still got to look into it. I mean, I get not wanting to waste resources and shit like that, but we're talking about kids. And
exactly.
And when you don't provide the resources that are necessary to look for these kids, I mean, I would rather waste the resources and just find out that they did run away than find out that a murder of a child could have been prevented because you made an assumption.
Right. I agree 100%. And so before we get into the even worse part of it, let's go ahead and try another beer.
All right. Which one do you want to do? I think we should do the skull one. What do you think?
I think that the skull one is awesome. And that one's called Shock, right?
It is called Shock. This is a sour ale brewed with blueberry and lemon. And it's a little bit lower. It's a 4.2 ABV.
All right. Hold on. I'm finding it. Oh. No, I was already in the...
You were not prepared.
No, I was in the brewery, but they have a lot of flavors.
Fair enough.
Okay. It says... they also call it a fruited Berliner Weiss.
In this particular instance, I would go with what's on the can.
Okay.
Do we know, did they... put that on there, or...
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, but it does say it was inspired by some sort of concession stand candy.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough. Well, I like the spider... So it's like a skull.
Yeah, it's really cool.
But it's made... it's actually a spider web.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And like spiders hanging from... So the whole thing... I love the design of this can, so let's crack it open and give it a try.
Ready.
Ooh.
Oh, it's pink.
It's pink frothy.
Is it shocking?
Oh, I like it. It is. It's a little tart, but it's... Oh, you're making the face.
It is tart, but it absolutely... What candy is that?
I don't know. It has a great flavor.
But it...
Like, the flavor really comes through on this one.
Yeah,
very bright.
But it is... I wish they had named the candy, because I know exactly what it is, but I cannot...
Do you really?
Yes, I cannot...
That's funny.
Yeah, it's very good. What would you give him?
4.75 or 5. I like that a lot. Okay, it's not something that I would probably drink a lot of, just because I don't like a whole lot of sweet beers. Right. And this is obviously tart, and I'm not a huge sour fan. But as far as sours go, I love this one.
All right, I'm giving it a 5.
Perfect.
Checking in now. Oh.
No badges again?
Still no badges.
Double rejection.
Man. Suck.
You're like in the badge lull.
I know. Yeah. What's going on, Crane Brewing? Why aren't you giving me badges?
It's not Crane Brewing's fault. I know. Just teasing. It's the app that we shall not name until we get sponsored.
Which Mike still hasn't emailed.
Yeah, it's not their fault. It's my fault. I haven't reached out to anybody. And obviously nobody there listens to our podcast. So.
All right. So this is going to get ugly.
In other words, trigger warning?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Trigger warning, y'all.
So before I say the triggering stuff, Anne's uncle was actually a police officer with the Kansas City Police, and he was in charge of their helicopter unit. So his brother Bob, Anne's father, called him, and within minutes, the helicopter was
That's what I'm talking about.
And searching the wooded areas for Anne.
I mean, sometimes it comes in handy to know a cop. I'm just saying.
Well, in this case, it didn't. But that they acted that quickly.
But that's what I'm saying. Even if they didn't get results from the search, having that kind of response time.
Oh yeah,
and like a helicopter flying around resource, like that's big. Yeah. So I mean,
yeah, and the fact that Kansas City. Now, I probably should have looked. I don't know if Raytown has its own police, because, you know, some towns are so small.
They probably have their own police department. They probably don't have, like, helicopter-type resources. Right, so they may share those, or they probably request them as needed.
Well, I think in this case, they didn't really have to request. I think Bob called his brother, and
he's like, we're putting a fucking helicopter in the air. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, Anne was being driven to Roderick's mother's home. She was blindfolded while she was in the vehicle and told if she kept screaming, she would die. They parked the car in the garage and led her, still blindfolded, to the basement of the home where the two men took turns raping her. When they were done, they got scared and didn't know what to do because Anne had seen Nunley's face. He was the one that pulled her into the car.
Of course.
Michael Taylor supposedly wanted to let Anne go. Because remember, they claimed that the initial plan was just to steal her purse. And we've gone from stealing a purse to kidnapping.
To rape.
To rape. And now Nunley's talking about
murder.
Murder. And he's like, no, dude. Let's just let her go. But Nunley said, no, she saw my face and commanded Anne to get in the trunk of the car. The whole time she was pleading for her life. They stabbed her to death with kitchen knives and then abandoned the car with Anne's body still inside the trunk.
Oh, because it was stolen.
Yeah,
I forgot.
Now, according to Michael Taylor's mother, when he got home that afternoon, he got home a little early and she could tell something wasn't right with him. She said he was crying and acting hysterically, and he made some comment along the lines of only God would be able to help him now, and then left. She's like, well, that's fucking weird.
Well, yeah.
So apparently, according to his mother anyway, it really affected him. Like, this was not where now obviously he still participated, but he had not previously committed any violent crimes.
He escalated quickly.
Yeah, for sure.
Abduction, rape, and murder. Yeah.
He was raised by both parents. So, you know, a lot of times we see these type of things happen when kids come from a broken home. But he had both of his parents. He had what was considered to be a relatively good upbringing. So it was kind of a shock that he would go from no crime to that.
Yeah.
He did later go on to, like, mentor younger prisoners, trying to steer them away from a life of crime. So I think there is a little bit of truth to what they say about his personality.
Well, and I'm curious, and I do not take this the wrong way, because I don't give a fuck how many drugs you did. That does not.
Right.
That does not let you off the hook for this shit. But I am curious if the cocaine bender thing was true or not. Or if it wasn't, and I think that makes a difference.
I think it was, because I think it was Michael that said that they were on cocaine.
Gotcha. Well, again, I don't really give a shit. That does not excuse you.
No, absolutely not.
I can see where in a mind altered state.
And maybe it's your first time, maybe.
Well, no, I'm not even going there. What I'm saying is I can see where he freaked the fuck out afterwards.
Yeah.
Because not on drugs, that's something he would never have done.
Right.
But again, I don't give a shit.
Well, I don't either, but I said this with the case we recorded yesterday, and again, not defending him by any means, but if he'd never done cocaine before, he could have had a way worse reaction. You know.
Maybe. Still doesn't.
No, still absolutely doesn't.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm not saying it does. I'm just, it sounds
not
to me.
Not to be a dick, but I'm just saying.
No, you're not being a dick. I'm just saying it sounds to me like this was, nobody would ever expect this from this kid.
Yeah.
This 23-year-old.
It shocked people.
And they weren't quite as shocked about Roderick being involved. So anyway, he did go on to mentor younger prisoners, trying to keep them from going through, not going through, but keep them from making the mistakes that he made.
I mean, I at least respect that. Doesn't change how I feel, but go ahead.
No, I agree. I'm just giving you the facts. Roughly a day and a half after Anne's disappearance, a neighbor had reported the Monte Carlo missing. And then another neighbor in the area saw it and said it looked suspicious or abandoned. So they called the police and was like, hey, there's this weird car over here. So the police came to investigate. And when they did, they discovered that the vehicle had been reported stolen. It had been stolen from Grandview, Missouri, which is about 15 minutes from Raytown. So still not far. So police immediately called the owner of the Monte Carlo to come collect the vehicle. When he did, he's the one that opened the trunk.
Oh, they didn't look in the
And discovered.
Wow, I feel bad for, like totally, like, out of all the people, the car owner who got his shit stolen, not. But to open your trunk and find a dead body?
Yeah.
What the fuck, dude? That would. Yeah, I'm really surprised they didn't.
They did not.
Now, here's a question for you. So, the girl that was on the street saw a car speed away. Did she not did she not report it, or did she not know what kind of car it was?
I don't think she initially reported it because she didn't know anybody was missing, right?
So, right, but they found the car how many days later? Two?
It was like a day and a half. But by the time, so when Anne went missing, they immediately talked to her friends, and I think the friend mentioned she saw a car speed by. But she didn't immediately, right when she saw it, think anything of it. But when they started looking
for it, you'd think the cops would be like, oh, she goes missing, car goes speeding down the fucking street around the same time. What's the fucking car look like? I'm not saying they didn't.
Yeah.
But, it makes me curious.
This poor man had discovered Anne's body still in the trunk. But it gets even worse. Anne's parents found out that their daughter had been found on the news. Now,
they found out while watching the news.
Now, the news report didn't say whether she was dead or alive, just that her body had been found. So now,
generally, when they say your body's been found,
well,
it
just
means
that
you're
she
dead.
Had been found. Okay, sorry, that okay. She had been found. So here, her parents are like, okay, our daughter has been found. Is she dead or alive? Right around.
I think it's shitty that the cops didn't get to the parents before the fucking media could put it out on the damn news.
I do too, but in this case, I think it's the media's fault because Bob's brother, the Kansas City police officer, was at the scene of the crime identifying his niece so that his brother didn't have to.
Oh, so they're live reporting. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And
then I can't blame the cops for that. Okay.
He wanted to be the one to tell his brother.
That's a good man, and I respect that. I think that was probably the wise way to handle that. Is good for him. That's
so,
yeah.
As soon as he positively identified Anne, he immediately went to Bob and Janelle to let them know. But when they opened the front door, remember, they'd already seen the news report. They opened the front door and they see Anne's uncle and his wife standing there, and they could just tell.
And they just knew.
They just knew that Anne was dead. So remember, Anne was murdered in 1989. As of 2015, Bob and Janelle still lived in the same house where she was abducted from.
Oh, wow.
Now, a lot of people, you know, can't stay there and move out because of the bad memories, and it makes them think too much. And Bob and Janelle, if I remember correctly, said that's exactly why they stayed. Not because of the bad memories, but because of the good memories.
I respect both sides of that coin. I get both sides.
I do too. But usually I think you see it's the
awesome.
Other.
I agree. And I think it's awesome that they wanted to stay where they were because they had such fond memories of their daughter in that home.
Yes.
I think that's awesome.
I do too. Now, Michael Taylor was the first to confess. He's the one that everybody was surprised he was involved. And he actually confessed on video. They showed Roderick Nunley Michael's confession a month later, and then he immediately confessed on video as well.
Wow, they waited a month? I'm surprised.
Yeah, I don't know exactly why they waited a month, but yeah, he confessed a month later after being shown Michael's video.
Maybe they were trying to get him to confess without it. I don't know.
That's possible. Although both men did confess, their stories were very different. They each claimed that the other one was the one to rape and murder Anne. Although forensic evidence seems to point that Michael did for sure participate in both. And both men agreed. The only other thing they agreed on was that the decision to abduct Anne was a spontaneous decision. They had not planned to do it. So I will say this, just because they have the forensic evidence on Michael confirming doesn't mean that Roderick didn't do it.
Right.
You know? But they are able to link Michael to both the killing and the rape with it.
Even though he said it wasn't him.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right. So let's try another beer.
All right. Let's do drinking in another state. This is a hazy IPA made with Sabro, Galaxy, and Mosaic hops. And it is a 7.5% ABV. And I also want to point out that this is a collaborative brewing initiative. And if you want some information on that, you can go to Beer is for Everyone.
Yep. And check it out. Pop it open, boo.
All right, let's do it. There's the face. Oh, that is not Amy's favorite. Oh.
That's real hoppy.
I like it. I think it's very good. I like a hoppy beer. I can absolutely see why you made that face. This is definitely not your style of beer.
I like the can, though.
The can's very pretty, yes. It has one of the sunflowers, maybe, I think. Definitely has some flowers, maybe a rose, I think, too, on there. So, yeah, I like the can and everything. I think the beer's very good. I'd give it a 4.5.
Okay, we'll go with
What is your thought on it?
Oh, we're not even
going to go there. That is not Amy's style, but no, it's very good. But, yeah, that's definitely outside of her box.
Yeah, it's not fair for me to rate it.
Fair enough.
We will go with your rating.
All right.
Man!
A triple denial of badges.
Man.
You know what's going to happen.
The last one, I'm going to get like 47
badges.
Yeah,
you're going to get a ton. Okay. That's what I'm thinking.
We can hope so.
If you go for the quad denial.
Oh, I'll be so upset.
The next episode. Because you get them like every five.
Oh, what is going on?
I don't know. I have no idea.
All right. So, after they confessed, obviously the men were arrested, and they actually pled guilty before a judge instead of a jury. They like waived their rights to trial by jury, and the judge found them guilty and gave them the death sentence.
Damn.
They were sentenced on May 3rd, 1991, so 2 years later.
Yeah.
However, in 1993, the Supreme Court of Missouri gave no reason but overturned the judge's decision, and the men were retried for a second time.
Really?
Yeah.
That's odd.
Well, especially since they wouldn't say why.
Yeah, that's odd. But I mean, I am sitting there going, like, were they sitting there going, man, maybe we should have kept our jury trial.
Right.
Like, what the fuck?
So on May 10th, 1994, Roderick Nunley,
take a second, breathe.
On May 10th, 1994, Roderick's second trial concluded and he was again given the death penalty.
Okay, I'm okay with that.
But this time he was also given an additional life sentence for the
he got worse.
For the rape of Anne, and another life sentence for armed and criminal action, and 15 years for kidnapping.
Wow. Okay, so
he went from just to, death.
I'm curious what his criminal background was, because can you get a life sentence for rape? I'm totally anti-rape. I'm not saying, like, I think it's one of the worst crimes you can commit, but is that something that they normally give life sentence for?
I don't know the answer in general, but I would say in Missouri, apparently, yes, because remember, Michael had no.
Yeah.
And he also got a life sentence for the rape of Anne.
Oh, so in his retrial, so he got the same shit?
Not exactly, but yes. He didn't have, there was one, we'll get there in just a minute, but there was one charge they didn't give him.
Okay.
But yeah, Roderick went from, as bad as this sounds, just the death penalty to the death penalty, two life sentences, and 15 years.
I mean, let's be honest. At the end of the day, it's all just ink on paper.
Well, but it...
You can only live as long as you live until they kill you. Like,
well, right, but it guarantees no possibility of parole.
Well, so does the death penalty.
No. We've seen people get paroled from the death penalty.
What?
If it gets overturned or stayed and...
That's valid. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this doesn't happen often, but...
Yeah. Well, yeah, but we've had several, like, states and things like that change their laws and abolish the death penalty, and then suddenly they have life, and then somehow they went from a death sentence to now being eligible for parole. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, I forgot, okay.
Or, like, even here in Texas, you get a stay of execution, and they may look at your case again and change it from death to life.
But it could be life without parole. And
yeah, right. Okay. So it doesn't happen often, but at least in this case, okay, we waived your death penalty, but now you have two life sentences.
They ain't going nowhere.
Right. It secures.
I respect that. Yeah.
So a month later, on June 17th, 1994, Michael Taylor's case closed. He got his second death sentence, and he also got the life sentence for Anne's rape. Now, he only, instead of getting a life sentence for armed and criminal action like Roderick did, he only got 50 years for that.
For some reason. Armed and criminal action.
Yeah, I don't, it's a Missouri law.
Maybe because he's not the one.
Because he didn't pull her into the car.
That was my thought. Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, was he armed when he did it? Roderick?
I'm guessing so.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
But in that armed and criminal action, that could be from the stabbing, because they had the kitchen knives. But he did not get a life sentence for that. He got 50 years. But he did also get the 15 years for kidnapping. Now, Michael's original execution date was scheduled for February 1st, 2006, so that's quite a bit of time from when it happened, 89 to 2006, but he was given a stay of execution.
Michael was.
Now, his stay did not stick because he was executed on February 26th, 2014, so 8 years after his original scheduled date.
He got an extra 8 years.
He was 47 when he was executed.
Wow.
Because he was only 23.
Don't do cocaine, kids. Don't do cocaine. Yeah. Just saying.
Now, Michael's execution was actually a little bit controversial in the state of Missouri because they used pentobarbital.
Phenobarbital.
I thought I spelled that wrong. Okay. So, which is pretty common now. But at the time, the drug wasn't regulated and it was raising questions of cruelty. Like, it had just become being used for lethal injection. And apparently the state of Missouri got their phenobarbital from some unnamed source.
Oh, okay.
Because the manufacturer of phenobarbital, at least at the time, would not give it to the states to use for lethal injection.
Really?
Yeah. So his execution became very, very controversial. But it didn't matter. He was given lethal injection. He didn't have any public last words, but he did very quietly mouth something to his mother. So his mother was there at his execution, and he was pronounced dead just after midnight. Now, Anne's family didn't attend Michael's execution. At the time, they weren't sure it would bring any closure to them. Michael did say that if there was anything he could say to Bob, it would be, "I'm sorry, I have never forgotten that day, and I never will." Which could be...
The words could be chosen a little bit better, I think. Like,
that could be taken...
The wrong way. Yeah. Because that was immediately, I was like, whoa, that don't sound quite right.
Well, and I don't think that's how
what he meant,
But, yeah.
Yeah, you gotta be careful how you select your words in a situation like that.
Well, in all situations.
Well, in all situations, yes. But, yeah. Especially that, so.
So, Roderick, he was not a model prisoner. He did not mentor young criminals like Michael did. On August 19th, 2010, he attacked one of the prison managers. The manager did survive, but he was stabbed in the head, collarbone, and back with some sort of homemade metal shard.
Jeez.
Yeah. His original execution date was supposed to be October 20th, 2010. So just a couple months after he stabbed this prison guard. But he was also given a stay of execution.
Why?
I don't know, because he just attacked this prisoner.
Like, I kind of get the other guy, because you can make the argument, hey, he's a model prisoner, he's doing this, that, and the other thing. This guy, I don't get at all. Like, how the fuck can you give him a stay?
Well, he got one.
It must have been a really lenient, like, what is it? It's the governor that does that, right?
Yeah.
There must have been a really lenient governor at the time or something.
Maybe. But he, so his original was supposed to be October 2010. He got his stay, and he was then executed on September 1st, 2015. He was 15.
So he actually, because the other one was 2014.
Yeah.
So he actually got an extra year.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
And he was 50 years old when he was executed. He was pronounced dead at 9:09 p.m. This time, Anne's father and her uncle both attended Nunley's execution. They didn't go to Michael's, but they went to Nunley's. And I didn't find a reason for that. I don't know if maybe they realized that maybe they should have gone to Michael's. It might have helped them. Or maybe they put more blame on Nunley because he's the one that grabbed her.
I think whatever the reason is, I respect their decision.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's necessarily decision for us to speculate. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, they did what they had to do.
And they were both there. And like Michael, Nunley was also executed by lethal injection. So they're both dead. But as a tribute to Anne, there's this park in Raytown called Cave Spring Park. And it's, I get the impression it's kind of like a state park or a really nice city park that you can go visit. But in a specific area at this park, they have planted a rose garden in her memory.
That's awesome. I love that. So,
yeah, I love it when they do stuff like that because people suck.
People do suck.
And this girl didn't.
We love you guys, but a lot of people suck.
Yeah. And Michael Taylor and Roderick Nunley,
they definitely sucked. So,
yeah, I mean,
Well, we got on sync there for a minute.
We did. I mean, we've been married for 11 years, so, you know, what do you expect?
True.
All right, what's the last one? Let's see if it gives me a badge this time.
So let's finish it off with one last beer. We got the Windfalls Summer. So it's like Windfalls colon summer. So I'm assuming English teacher daughter. Is the double dot the colon? The semicolon is the one with the...
Yes.
Yeah, so colon. Okay.
So it's the Windfalls what?
Windfalls colon summer.
Okay.
So I'm assuming they have like a Windfalls winter and fall.
They have a Windfalls.
Windfalls.
And they have a Windfalls spring.
Yeah, so they have seasonal ones.
And summer.
Okay. So they have a few seasonal ones. So this one is a Saison with black locust honey and rye.
From Meisner Bee Farm.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Well, let's crack it open.
Oh, and it's 5.5 ABV.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot to tell that.
Ooh, I get to try first?
I'm going
to
let you try first.
Ooh, that's really good. I don't get honey at all, but it's very good.
It's definitely a Saison.
I like Saisons.
I think I get just maybe, it's really subtle. It's a really subtle hint, but it's not like, it's not sweet. Not really. Like almost no. Like you get just a little tickle of sweetness, but it is not a sweet beer at all.
Well, and so the tags on Untappd, and I don't usually bring these up unless they're ridiculous. The tags on Untappd, I completely disagree with. It says earthy, grassy, watery, spicy, and bubblegum.
Okay, so I get the earth. So to me, like if I was, to me, it's almost, I get almost like if there was some tea in there or something like that.
Okay, I can give it the earthy.
So I get the earthy on it.
It does not taste grassy to me.
Agreed. So we'll forget their tags. That's but what spicy other people.
And bubblegum.
Both big no's on that. Yeah, disagree completely.
I'm curious.
But these are tags on the app. That's what other people say.
No, I know they are.
Some people are idiots. Sorry. Not that we're freaking beer connoisseurs or anything, but we've had enough. I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't think I've ever heard a beer described as bubblegum.
I wouldn't want a bubblegum beer. I'm going to be real honest. I wouldn't. But that being said, I really like this. It's different, but it's very good. Yeah, that one. Sorry, I put my hand on the wrong can. But yes, that one. They didn't see that. You don't have to point that out.
You give me shit, I give it back.
Fair enough.
So what would you give this one?
What would you give this one?
I would give it a 4.75. I like it.
Okay, I'm with you on that.
Okay, let's see. Cross your fingers.
Do we get 20 badges this time?
One badge. Oh, and I unlocked it. This is a new badge.
Oh.
Trip to the farm. You have a keen taste for this Belgian masterpiece. Did you know the Saison style beer was invented by Belgian farms, brewed in the winter and served in the spring and summer to all their workers? Well, now you do. That's 5 different farmhouse ales. Try 5 more for level 2.
Learn something new every day. I didn't know that.
I didn't either, but at least I got a badge.
Very good. Well, that being said, we want to thank you guys yet again for joining us. As always, we love every single one of you.
We do. Join us on all the things, except maybe Twitter, because Mike doesn't use Twitter.
I'm a slacker. I can't help it. And I'm not a social media user, honestly.
He's a liar. He got sucked into Facebook.
If you're interacting videos with us on social, you're really interacting with Amy, and it has nothing to do with the fact that I don't love you. I just don't. Do social
if you
media
want,
very
if you
much.
Want Mike to respond to your social media, send a video. He gets sucked into those videos.
I watch the reels and I watch like the shorts on the YouTube shorts. I don't really care about any of the other stuff of social media at all. I stopped using it a long time ago. So yeah.
Send him a video. He loves you all.
I do love you guys. So, but yeah, thanks again, everybody. We love you, and we will catch you next time.
We love you all.
Laters. Thank you for joining us here at Blood and Barrels. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at
Blood and Barrels. You can also follow us on Twitter at Blood Barrels Pod.
Follow us on all the things.
You can also listen to Blood and Barrels on Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Podcast, Stitcher, or most anywhere where you enjoy your podcast.
If you enjoy listening, please head over to Apple Podcast and rate, review, and subscribe. For more information about the show, you can check us out at bloodandbarrels.com.
If you want to help support the show and become a part of the Blood and Barrels family, you can join us on Patreon and get access to additional content. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.